And welcome back. This is another week of the Geek Whisperers, this time live from VMworld 2014 on the V. Brown Bag stage here at San Francisco. I'm John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm Matt Brender.
Today our topic is, as is our usual topic, another topic around careers, influencer marketing, unicorns. What the heck are we doing with our lives?
And why are we all here in San Francisco together?
How to be a unicorn, not a dinosaur.
Oh, unicorn, not a dinosaur. And what is a unicorn when they grow up and wear a tie? Do they still get to keep the horn, or do they have to put it somewhere else?
I think they become a horse.
Yeah. And, you have to appreciate my beard mic here. I lost my fancy mic, so I'm just going to hold this up to my face, and that's going to happen.
So, yeah, I think we're streaming live. We're definitely available. We'll be on video on the V. Brown Bag channel, and this will be available as a podcast if you're listening to it in your car.
Yeah. So, we're really excited. We've got a few examples of people that have progressed their career in interesting ways. We have people that were unicorns that lead unicorns. We have people that get to maintain that individual contributor status. We just like to talk about this because we find that you, our listeners, like to talk about this. We're all trying to figure out what to do and what we should be learning at a place like VMworld 2014.
Well, and to frame it a little bit, one of the conversations we've been having is, in all seriousness, that unicorn, not a dinosaur. So how do you make yourself relevant? And one of the things, and we'll try to get you some statistics on this. There have been some informal polls done and some more formal polling by the V. Brown Bag folks to get you some of those statistics. But a lot of people are talking about what does social do in terms of giving you more options. And some of the interesting feedback we got, we had the opportunity to do a panel, was really about education. It was about learning from fellow community members. So it sounds obvious, but I think a lot of people think of being active in social channels as being a way to raise your visibility, which is true, but it's also a way to learn from your peers. And by making yourself more visible, you in turn often have to be in a place of constant learning. So that was one sort of just quick and obvious tip that we've been hearing a lot about.
And to go along with the listening, I think, you know, how as a unicorn in your career do you add value to your job, right? Because you're getting paid for something. And, and trying to balance the learning piece versus the outbound marketing piece. Sometimes I think vendors have a tendency to forget that it's two-way, and they think, oh, wow, I've got somebody out there on social. They can, talk about our new product.
I've got a big microphone. Yeah. Can you scream through my microphone, please?
Yeah, unicorns are not a platform.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to have some guests, though, so it's a new format for us.
Yeah, very interactive. So why don't we just start?
Our first guest
is Chris Seacott. If you could come up, grab your microphone.
It's the opposite of dropping the mic.
Yeah. If you if you wouldn't mind introducing everyone to who you are, what your title is.
Sure. So my name is Chris Seacott. I am a principal systems engineer at EMC Corporation within our Global Alliance program.
Yeah, so I got to spend some time with Chris, and he was telling me how he's maintained that individual contributor status and done really interesting things. So we want to talk about how people progress. I think progression often leads to people questioning whether or not they want to be a manager when they grow up, which a lot of us instinctually get a little nauseous when that comes to mind. I think Chris has done an incredible job at lead the witness too much, but you've done a great job at staying like that passionate tech guy, but being a leader from the ranks, right? Is that how you define the job a bit?
Absolutely. And actually, it came from a managerial role. So prior to becoming to EMC, I was actually a customer for 10 years. I was a partner for 5 years. And in both of those prior situations, I worked my way up to being a manager.
You poor bastard.
Learned my lesson. But it's one of those things where you think you aspire to get into a large company, you can do a managerial role, but then sometimes you get bogged down with all the HR and the development of other people, which is great, but then your development suffers as well.
Right.
So we often talk about it as the T-shirt to suit transition. And, can you maintain, can you just put a sport jacket over the shirt? Or do you end up, like you said, how do you, give us some practical tips. What have you found in your experiences to balance those two things? And what would you do differently? I always love of, don't do what I did, do this something else.
Absolutely. Well, one thing you have to do is make sure there's a work-life balance and your employer understands that.
Yeah.
And when you're constantly juggling all these balls, you have to make sure that you can't let yourself suffer, you can't let the people you're being a champion for suffer, and you can't also let your day job suffer also, right? So I end up losing a lot of sleep, but I don't sleep well anyway. So that's a good time for me to kind of break free of all the monotony of the day, whether it's from work or from life, and actually do and learning. Yeah. Stay social and kind of stay, keep current with the trends.
Yeah. Okay, so tip one, unicorns don't sleep.
Right. Well, let's also get specific.
Work-life balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't miss sleep.
Right. I want to also want to zoom in and get specific here, because you are still an SC by day, so a sales engineer helping sell the EMC portfolio, but at night or at other times during the day, maybe in the middle of the night, you're doing some more research and other things related to the role.
And also, I mean, your title is principal, and so if folks at big companies kind of know what that means, maybe you could talk about at EMC what does being a principal mean to your job.
No, fair enough. So it means I have a couple more stripes on my arm than most of the others in the ranks. So it's a non-managerial leadership position. So I end up being a thought leader within the group. I look at the way that we message our products because, you know, being in the Global Alliances group at EMC is a little bit different than being from in the enterprise or mid-market space.
Okay.
Because I have to help our customers actually monetize our assets.
Oh, wow.
So it's turning these things around and saying, well, it's not X as a service, like Atomar as a service or Data Domain as a service, for example, but it's backup as a service. And we have to back into the technology to make sure that the marketing works, right?
So, and I want to just jump in here because I think we're talking from a big vendor perspective. There are sometimes these laid down career tracks, but I like what you're saying in terms of, I think that that could apply to any of our technologists or our practitioners listening, that you can maybe find a way to, like you said, if you weren't interested in taking on that HR management piece, you could become a leader as a technologist, that you could perhaps forge a path for yourself up within your own ranks.
Absolutely. You have to make that clear as well, because I've been approached a few times at EMC to become a manager. And I was very honest and open. I said, that's a great career track, but it's not for me. I've been there, I've done that, and I think I've made a difference, but I think I can make a better difference when I'm doing a leadership role, from when people are coming to me and asking me some of those serious questions about how they complete something like what I've done, whether it's for one of our customers, for one of their customers, or for myself, while having getting bogged down in all those other things that a management or having on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, there's a unicorn tip number two. If you become aware of what you're after and then actually honestly tell people that you're not going to get the job opportunity you want without being explicit about what you want and why.
Well, you're absolutely right, because when I first got into this group, I asked my manager if it was okay if we had a skip-level meeting. The concept of skip-level meeting is, can I go and meet with your boss without you knowing about it? And as long as my boss is doing his job, it shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The concept when I was at Ford, when I was there, they had them all the time. It was no big deal. My people met with my management and so on. So I started, you know, meeting with my boss's boss on a regular basis, and I told him right up front, I can send you my resume, I can send you a list of all the cool things that I've done within this group, but I want you to get to know who I am and what my aspirations are. And he really respected that I reached out and did that, because I don't know how many people will sit at their desk or do their job on a day-to-day basis for 10 to 15 years and wonder why they're never promoted. They said, well, I'm just waiting for someone to tap me on the shoulder. If you don't put your shoulder out there, you'll never know that it needs to be tapped.
Wow.
Yep, got to show your horn.
Take it, John.
So, Chris, with the a lot of times when you are an SE and you get started in the social and this community stuff, it's actually kind of challenging, right? Because you have a quota, you have a day job, you're on the road, and then you're putting in this extra time, nights and weekends, because you have a passion about it. Often you just start blogging because part of the time, just to remember what you've done.
Right, to document your own work.
But it is. It's explicitly, at most places, certainly not part of your MBOs, not part of your quarterly objectives. You know, it's extra. As a principal,
but it's
now,
expected, though.
Well,
do you think that's evolved or changed? I mean,
it's one of those things that's not written down, it's not documented, but we don't get to a level like
EMC
that.
EMC is pretty progressive in that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your experience in other places, would you say that's true? I mean, are you finding, as we counsel people, is that, again, I think that's interesting, is the expectation that you'll do that much more? And do you have any advice for making sure it is part of your MBOs so that you're credited and not seen as off-roading?
Because it's hard to measure the business value for some of those things, especially if it's not a corporate blog, or if you're not doing it specifically for a particular event.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things, I think, that once you reach a certain level, they expect that you're just that type of person who can do that.
Yeah, and I can say from experience that sometimes they just don't care. I mean, when you're starting a blog, you're offering like, hey, I might get 3 readers in a week.
Hi, Mom.
Are you excited for me, boss? Like, no, go read something and give it to a customer or something. But if you have the free time and you are looking to build that into your career progression and your personal brand, to use that buzzword bingo, it's really helpful. And just start it. Don't wait for permission or ask for it. Don't say anything stupid about a specific customer and exactly exactly how you fixed a problem, but you just start blogging, and when you get to a point where it's actually quite valuable, that's when you can be like, oh yeah, by the way, I have this asset that could benefit us in a few different ways, especially leading up to an event like this, where we know you from the internet, and you know me from the internet, thus coming together in person is actually really valuable, because we just kind of cut some of the bullshit and get right to the conversation.
You just know him from the internet? He could be some sort of weird stalker.
We're not going to get into the Twitters and why you can trust people on there. Just yet.
But where I was going, actually, I wanted to know, how has your day job changed now that you are a principal and stuff like that?
So I think you have a little bit of leeway because of that, because they do expect that you're going to be out there, you're going to be making sure that you kind of counsel the different members of the group, make sure that they're doing the types of things that are expected of them as well, and also leading them down the right path, because maybe they want to go towards a principal type of a role, or maybe just specializing in a certain technology. So you get a little bit of leeway within your day job. Fortunately for me, the district that I cover, they're very self-sufficient resources. I've gotten that way, I've kind of trained them, so it allows me a little more free time during the day to do that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Automate all the things so that you can make more things.
Yeah. To automate.
To automate.
But also, I want to get back to Matthew's point that he made a moment ago, that a lot of people won't get started on a blog or even a Twitter account because, like, what do I have to say and how is it special? Why are you saying it? That's the first question I would ask. Go out there and start saying something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first joined Twitter, I don't know how many years ago, I just started telling people about my day.
Hello, world.
Things I was doing. It starts to evolve, but you need to get started somewhere and just don't get stuck in that rut. It's like, well, my message isn't that special, and I wouldn't know what to say. Maybe you should start to listen first.
Yeah, exactly. And Amy always brings up the point of sweat equity. Like, you have to put in the sweat day by day by day, share the articles you're reading, share the stuff you're working on. I found, like, one of the most interesting conversations I started on Twitter early on was just saying, like, hey, I'm trying to learn how Linux does X, Y, Z. And somebody picked it up and said, oh, hey, I know how to do this. Here's an article. I'm like, oh, thank you. And it just starts a dialogue.
Absolutely. And that's when you start to get to know strange people from the internet.
Yeah, strange people that aren't ended up being that strange. John, what are you thinking as you think about career progression? We've got a great example of individual contributors staying as an individual contributor and still being successful in a business.
We talked a little bit about, part of the point of talking to you is that you're not like out there as a public evangelist, particularly in the job role, with your blogging or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're an internal evangelist and trainer, and this is a career path for technology leadership. But you are on social, and you do social stuff. Does management look at that? I mean, again, EMC is a little bit enlightened in terms of its culture. It's kind of woven into the EMC culture at this point. That,
sure.
You know, people should be on social. I talk to people at VMware, but that's not the case with their employees. But, I mean, does management look at this as a plus for you? Does management... is it seen as value? Do they tap you for anything?
Is being on the Geek Whisperers going to get you a bonus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what we want to know.
I doubt it, but it won't get me fired either. But getting back to your point, though, I think that they expect it, and they also, it helps further our talk because you are that connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, you know, if you are that connected, you're out there, they're looking at you, then not only a leader internally, but also kind of a little bit of a leader externally as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And how, again, if it's not somewhere that's got the culture, what would you say to somebody like yourself to how do you package that in a way that's understood? How do you package that? How do you sell yourself as that's part of your value proposition?
And actually, that's a great question. So right before I became principal, I reached out to my boss at Boston and said I would like a mentor. So I've been mentoring for years individuals when I was a customer, when I was a partner, even at EMC, when I first became a B specialist, I started mentoring new people.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time helping them build their careers, but I never focused on myself. So I reached out and I said, you know, I would definitely like a mentor. And that's one of the first things my mentor asked me to do, besides read a couple books, was to document my brand.
Oh, wow.
And I want you to do it in five sentences. Five single sentences, document your brand.
That's terrifying. That's terrifying.
For a long time before I was able to really come up with something, because you want to go back and you see yourself through your own lens quite a bit, right? I'm awesome. I did this. I did that. I had to reach out to 15 people that I worked with very closely over the years and ask them five very, very tough questions. What have I been doing at my best? What have I done at my worst?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I could do to change? And ask for some advice. And I said, at the end, I included a paragraph. Please be brutally honest. Make sure that you know that you're not going to hurt my feelings if you tell me that I've been out complete.
Not a unicorn.
I got some very, very candid feedback, and I got phone calls right afterwards saying, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, this is extremely helpful and very constructive for me, because, again, I wouldn't know these things if I'm just looking at through my own lens and trying to build my brand in my view, and not the view that I see within the tighter community around it.
Yeah. That is really good, and I challenge the listening audience here. So 5 sentences. That's awesome.
Yeah, I challenge all of us, honestly.
I was going to challenge you next, and then I was going to dump a bucket of water on your head.
Oh, okay, bring it on. Well, Chris, other things that come to mind, I mean, you transitioned from the management roles to the individual contributor. Was there a turning point in it? Was there something about managing people? I think you hit on the idea that you had a lot of building others and you felt like you were falling behind a little. Can you empathize with somebody who would actually prefer the other way, that would say, oh, managing is actually exactly what I want to do because I want to make an army of unicorns and lead from those ranks?
Absolutely. The first thing is, a lot of people, they struggle a little bit when they think about being a manager because they think they're going to lose their technical side.
Mm. Yeah.
And in the tech industry, I don't know how many examples, Chad Sackage on the All the Way Down, been able to be a great leader and also be very, very technical. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. So that thing is sometimes stops people from making that transition or being successful in that transition because they're really trying hard to stay so technical that they're not focusing on that other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, we have, Chris, thank you so much. It's great to hear what you're up to. Do you want to tell people where they can follow you and hear more about your life?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @Chris_CPAT. And also, yeah. I had a blog for a little while, but now that I have twins, I spend more
time. That's okay. That's the correct choice.
That's the right answer.
And then also, I wanted just a little plug,
please.
If I could, please.
Yeah.
So most of the people in our community may have known about a month ago, a friend of ours, Stephen Hunt, was in a very bad automobile accident. Actually just got back from seeing him in the hospital. He's doing quite well, but we're still trying to raise money for him because he's going to be out of work for a little while. He's going to have some medical bills, possibly some other financial responsibilities as we go forward. So if you go to supportforsteven.com, there's a way to keep in track of how his progress is going and also donate as well.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Yep. So we have one more unicorn out in the audience, but I'm not actually seeing him. Dave Siles, you out there? We were going to talk about how Dave has really become a leader of unicorns while also maintaining his horn underneath that all.
Let's get Eric Nielsen. Nielsen.
We're actually just going to start calling out names because we know all of you. Eric Nielsen.
Eric Nielsen, my boss.
All right, Eric, yeah. Come on down. You want a free microphone? Just go pick it up.
Eric, we are so important on this podcast that our guest has evidently been...
they're eating lunch okay. By aliens.
You needed a body.
Oh, you got to hold the microphone.
Eric Nielsen, my old boss, our community director of community and social media at VMware. So we have this concept of a unicorn, somebody who goes kind of above and beyond, communicates and is a geek. Their career path. And some of the time, we just talked to somebody who moved into a principal SE role. Sometimes you move into management. Sometimes so I've gone solo, and now I'm a consultant doing my own thing. But so I don't know, I know Eric very well, but I don't know if you guys have questions for Eric. Is now a director at VMware, has been for quite a while, was a director and CTO at Sun. So you have been a unicorn, and now sometimes you have to give off, as Eric once explained to me, you have to, when you're no longer a child, you have to give off your childish things. I had to give up being a blogger to go on and do other things like the VExpert program, but I've now monologued for about 5 minutes.
No, I do have some questions. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, and we've had the opportunity to talk before, and you gave me some great advice, including, one of the things that's important when you're a unicorn is figuring out how to navigate the systems. I think you do a really good job with that of sort of here's how you get funding and focus on projects. So Eric's a great person to talk to about that sort of thing. What would you say in terms of things that are the hardest to give up, but like you said, in the sort of giving up of childish things, if you were encouraging someone, if they felt a little stuck in their career path as a technologist, what would you say, how to evaluate what to give up?
that's always a challenge, right? I think that's when you know you're either ready to step into a higher role in management, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is if you're willing to start focusing on either the dollars, right, mm-hmm. where you have to focus on budgets and how are you doing the dollar spend and the analysis and the ROI on the analysis, and if you can start to tolerate that, or if you just go to a good doctor and have them pick out a third of your that. I think it's a good time to move up in your career when you've just experienced burnout at the level that you're at, and mm-hmm. you start looking above you or in a different direction, and you go, I think that I could do that. That's mm-hmm. one thing. Mm-hmm. And then two, I think that I could tolerate that, and mm-hmm. I could.
That's a good advice.
I always do want to tolerate my job.
Yeah. A lot of people I've seen try to climb the ladder, uh-huh. and they don't really think through what they have to give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I coach just don't, right?
Right.
Where you're at.
Yeah.
And, the Peter principle applies, right? You always try to grab the rung you can't quite reach. But. Everybody has to go through that process, and I think it's just an emotional, mental thinking process. You have to be willing to give up. There is no magic answer to that. You have to give up major pieces of what you enjoyed in order to do something new that probably pays better, mm-hmm. makes you wealthier, sends your kids to colleges, and that's called, like I told John, growing up.
Right? Yeah, so what are the skills you have to bring to the table before maybe even you're giving things up? There's probably at least a bit of a list that comes to mind of, like, what are the emotional and intellectual places people need to be prepared to have that conversation with you, which sounds pretty rough, but probably quite healthy.
I always point at, I have four children, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I've raised four children. One goes to Yale, one's working at Apple, and I've done a fairly good job. and I always point out that you have to decide when you're going to be the adult mm-hmm. in the room and start to understand that you have to let go of components. I don't know. I lost my thought on where I was going.
No, it's okay. I mean, it seems like there's really this main conversation about, like, giving things up. The thing, I think John said...
Well, I want to jump in there a little bit, because...
It's not the usual conversation. Usually the lecture, the self-help stuff, is about how to get charged up.
How to get, yeah.
And how to do stuff. Yeah. Well, everybody in this room is already doing stuff.
Well, and I think... So a couple things that made me think is that getting a mentor that you can be brutally honest with, and we heard that from Chris in terms of mentoring, but getting a mentor that tells you exactly what you just said, because, again, I remember very well the conversation we had, and having somebody tell you this is what it looks like at this level, good, bad, and ugly, and what your fault tolerance is.
Right.
And I think that's really well said, of, like, know what you do or don't want. I think when you go up, and again, I'm always an optimist, as you think about what you give up, think about what you can go for that will make you the happiest. Because I think that's where people feel like they're leaving something behind instead of progressing. But like you said, really consider the trade-offs that you get, things that are valuable in your life in terms of family, in terms of financial support, that there are rewards, and find ways to model that in a way that is sustainable. Because it's not sustainable, like you said, if you're not ready to do it, it's no good.
Having a moment to think about it now. Thank you for saving me. I think there are three avenues and three decision points you have to make.
Okay.
In the management thing, what I would say is that if you are looking to grow beyond your brand channel and move into management and run programs like John might do over time in his practice, you have to decide, do you love people? Mm-hmm. And do you love coaching people? Because to be a leader, to be a manager, to be up that stack, you have to love people, love to enable people, and have joy in your heart when you see people be successful.
That's a great...
That's the management criteria I go. If you don't like sharing the joy and watching other people beam and just glisten, and you don't get just love from that, don't go into management. Because that, to me, is the true true joy of management, mm-hmm. right? There will always be another task. There will always be another strategy. There will always be all that. Where you need to get it is by making people successful and enjoying that. So that's one career path.
That's fantastic.
That's great
advice.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't enjoy that, don't go into management.
Okay.
Right? Then it's just all about personal brand, right? And where are you taking your personal brand? And that's a whole channel that you can actually, decide to move up and be a broader personal channel. Scoble and some of these guys, you're at a target of 10,000. How do I take that? But some of that is you have to understand that the bigger you are, the more trade-offs you're going to make on content and budgets and, you know, who are your sponsors and when do you, you know, are you willing to be unpure sometimes in order to make enough money to pay for the whole thing.
For the purity.
And my father had a sign on his thing. I do it. I did it small. I did it by myself. You know, I got successful. I made more money. I hired the best. You know, over time, the best become lousy. And a circle of life is pretty soon you're cutting so many corners of integrity in order to pay for the whole shop that you've grown into. So you have to understand that choice. If you want a brand management and moving up the brand stack will also grow and you'll make compromises to reach the 2 to 5 to 7 million. And if you're willing to make those in order to get a larger reach, then great, you can do that.
Okay.
When, and I'm thinking about this from the individual contributor aspect as well. When we were talking about Chris, if you want to grow as the technologist, it makes me think from the, to avoid becoming a dinosaur, you might have to give up a technology in some ways you felt really passionate about and to evaluate where the time has changed. So I think the advice applies of being open-minded and being ready to look at the next new thing. And maybe it's trading out one area of expertise and maybe humbling yourself a bit and saying, well, I'm not the expert in this, but I'm going to take on this new thing.
Yeah, I always appreciate that about the tech community, especially around the VMware product set, is that people are willing to, they work so hard to master a subset of the product set, and then a year later, they're almost like they go from feeling like they know exactly what's going on in the world to being like, oh, I know this thing that's going to be gone in a couple more years, and I've got to start that over and over and over again. And if that doesn't exhaust you, then you are in the right business.
Yeah. I would say that if you love building things, right? Yeah. If you like creating the creating and building, then my only advice is, and I think me and John have talked about this, you do have to, at some point, there's a life cycle of things you build, and you might love it. I created Big Admin when I was at Sun, right?
Yeah.
And I loved the thing, and I just lived for it. But you have to understand there's everything has a life cycle, and you have to be willing to let go and then go try to build the next thing.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to suck at it as you're learning it, too.
That's like, true.
That's the other part of it, right? Hey, what are you feeling, John?
So, Eric, one of the things we did at VMware is we did have these blogs and podcasts, and so we were able to bring people, start them on this path of becoming a, you know, unicorn, becoming a little more of a communicator. And that's one thing I really admire about Amy, is work at Cisco. She also has a set of podcasts and videos and things like that. But as, if you give any advice to an SE or, you know, product manager who's out there wanting to get started, how would, we've talked a little bit about mentorship, how would you like to be approached? Or is there ways that have, you know, worked better or turned you off?
Keep it simple, right? I think you have been an excellent example of that with the community podcasts. I mean, it started with a microphone and a free service, and then you do those things. And if it's good, it'll be successful, and you don't have to invest as much in gear and technology as much as you just have to do it simple and get out. And then if it's good content or it's good messaging or if it's good timing for the market, it will become something, and boy, when it becomes something, you know it. And so that's my advice to people, is that do more, plan less, and it will start to happen for you. And if you're in the right place in the right time in the right market, it'll happen. And then don't be afraid to fail, right? Because, you know, I always tell people, you know, we learned this at Procter & Gamble when I worked at Procter & Gamble for a little while. You know, you have 100 ideas, right? You distill the 100 down to 50, then you distill it down to 25, then you distill it down to 5, and you come down to 2. 2 decent ideas out of 100, right? And sometimes you don't even do those 2, right?
Yeah.
You don't, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's being willing to dream, think up ideas, try them, and then when they fail, to be able to not have your ego crushed by it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look around us. We're here at VMworld. Wonderful hang space, wonderful community. Really, the professional highlight of my you know, journey. But we tried, Eric. You and I tried lots of stuff, even in this room. Here, it did not work at all. But nobody notices. It's like you just notice the stuff that worked, and you just stop doing the stuff that didn't work.
There's the other advice: don't fail so largely that you get your own trending hashtag around it. Has Justine landed? Not good.
Yeah.
I completely agree. We have done many things that, you know, I'm not proud of. right?
That's the quote of this podcast.
Ben Franklin and some of the great people. I mean, I was listening to a friend who knew Steve Jobs, and my son works at Apple, and the story was, I don't know if I should say this on the podcast or not, but anyway, my name is Eric Smith. He would sit and have his lead designer, Johnny Ives, and Johnny Ives would produce 30 to 50 designs on any given thing they were working on per day, right? So Steve would come in and say, we're working on this one button. I need 50 designs today. And so Johnny and his team of six would, you know, do the design of the button, right? Put it on a whiteboard, right? And Steve would walk in at the end of the day and look at all 50 of them and go, no, 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 no. And like one or two would have potential. And he'd go, okay, I want 15 more designs tomorrow on those two that have potential. And it's those kind of turn of ideas and generation that then end up, you know, refining and making your stuff good. And so you have to be willing to fail and willing to just create and offer and know, just like we did, that you build some things that don't work and you move on and do the next design.
Well, yeah. Unicorns are free range, as opposed to, you know, dinosaurs are stuck in one spot.
That was good. I can't help but think of that's great advice for practitioners of the marketing side of the house in technical companies. I mean, you have this social platform. You can use it to start testing ideas and iterating and start tracking them in meaningful ways so that you can find if one message is stronger than the other. Mm-hmm. But also personal brand-wise, I mean, I just keep buying URLs, spinning up sites, seeing if it takes off, and if it doesn't, just let it slowly die an ugly death. And yeah, you just do that forever, right?
I mean, try your new title on LinkedIn. Although, you know, yeah, just try some things on and iterate.
Great. Shall we move on?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Eric, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me up in the chat.
Okay. Where can folks find you on the internet?
On the internet, I am EricAndI25 on Twitter, and that's the best place to go find me. We play CloudCred and on communities, but my handle is EricAndI25, which I don't know who EricAndI12345.
But he's coming after you.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Thank you. Big hand for Eric. We always talk about make heroes of the brave, and I think walking past and getting sucked into a podcast certainly is brave.
He's our host. Yeah,
he's, absolutely.
He's the man. Well, folks, where do you want to take this conversation?
Well, I feel like we learned a lot for ad-libbing on the spot, as we always do, but we came in with a conversation talking about career building, talking about how do individual contributors, maybe earlier in their career, build up into something meaningful, whether that's into management or into a leadership role as an individual contributor. We just got a couple great examples of people, so what are the little pieces of that conversation that really resonated with you guys?
I mean, what did we talk about? We talked about be careful you get what you wish for.
Yeah.
Well, that came up a couple times. Getting a mentor.
Yeah.
And mentoring.
And mentoring yourself. Leaving stuff behind. Mm-hmm. Being brave, you know, and then all the try, fail fast, and all that sort of stuff. Actually, fail fast is kind of crappy, right? That's a kind of a Silicon Valley mantra. But why not? I mean, it's funny. People take it to seem, what that means is try different stuff, but try not to fail. Try not to suck.
Yeah. And don't put your ego so into one small entity of it. I think that's really what it's about, right?
Like, well, that's the free range. It really is. Like, go broad.
Please tell us about how unicorns are free range meat.
Well, not me.
No, go into it.
Well, no. If it means that you've got to expand your territory. You have to be willing not to sit so tightly on your territory that when it's evaporated, that's what makes you a dinosaur. You're sitting there waiting for a meteor.
Yeah. I'm actually fascinated, right? So I've been in this gig. Yeah, maybe a decade, but and social media really has been around for a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
So and blogging, and so we're like, I've seen the first generation or so of people come up and do, and there's natural ebb and flows and whatever, and people come and go. But I've seen them come up and be in the first year that we had bloggers here at VMworld, I begged for passes to get them in. By year two or three, they were speaking, right? And they were not speaking before.
Yeah.
So, and now, you know, there's all sorts of ways of getting in, and some of them are press, and some of them are bloggers, and some of them work for vendors. A lot of them, you know, do that thing where they're now working for vendors, or they're working for VMware. So it's been this really fascinating first couple generations of the people here in this room expanding in their careers. I'm really fascinated, you know, where are we going to be? Because I'm sticking around for the next 10 years. I don't know. Is the stage going to be here in 10 years? Are we all going to be the executives?
definitely, Josh.
Or, you know, are we going to be the principal engineers?
That's what this know, is the future leaders. Oh, thanks.
That's fascinating. That's what keeps me engaged in the community is watching how we're going to grow. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing. What Brent is going to be doing?
God only knows what I'll be doing. Yeah. I'm sure I'll be in marketing
stuff
these days. The thing that really struck me, I like the framing of both the positive. I think giving extra effort, giving your evenings to blogging, doing a little bit more research so you can be a little bit better in day-to-day jobs, you know, spending a night trying to automate something so your next week has 10 more hours of free time because you actually put that effort in. We all know the value of that, and sometimes we forget to put that energy in. I'm guilty as well. But when we do it, it's always satisfying. I think we're really well acclimated to the idea of giving energy and being that positive force. But the part that I appreciated was framing it the other way and realizing we have to give things up. We have to be willing to sacrifice some of the happiest, most exciting parts of our job in order to get the next job we're actually after. And I'm just left wondering like what I'd be willing to give up to move on and keep building my career.
Rational trade-offs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's something that's there's no class that teaches you that except maybe geekwhispers.com.
You're not necessarily giving up the most obvious thing because it's
that's true.
A common framework is, well, I had to give up technical to become a man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And that's a falsity.
And that's and that happens. But even Eric gets to keep one. He's at a very technical company. He gets to work on projects. We build up websites. Mm-hmm. The team he built. Our team was the reason I make the joke about the T-Rexes, that most marketers are T-Rexes with little arms that can't actually don't want to do anything. They can't even do HTML. Yeah. Our team was full of people who could build sites. We knew scripting. In some cases, it came from IT. He's technical.
Yeah.
So we could all do shit. So it's not like he became a manager and gave up and only became the Dilbert cartoon, right? You do give up some technical stuff, but
sure.
It's not an all or nothing thing. And then with principal pathways and CTO, I know people going into office of CTO stuff, which are other, technical leadership positions. I don't think it's not as simple as, you have to give up your technology thing to become the next state.
Well, and I really do believe in that you have to take these things on with some sort of positive attitude. So if you truly cannot be happy by giving that up, find a way to make it work a different way. And for people to say, I can't, then you're throwing the roadblock in front of yourself. I mean, that is you stopping your own career. That's dinosaur move. Number one, you have to find a way. If you truly can't be happy giving thing X up, find a way to incorporate X into a new framework. But to say that's impossible, then just sit down and wait for the asteroid.
Chad Sackett still blogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And we really have thousands of roads in front of us. There's so many technologies coming up, and they all need subject matter experts. They all need people that explore them. So there are lots of ways to explore these things. So when you actually close one of the bridges or burn it down, heaven forbid, it's actually kind of nice because you have one less pathway, and you can put more energy into the path that's in front of you that you know you'll enjoy. But it takes being honest with yourself about what you're not willing to sacrifice and keeping that list as short as humanly possible.
So great advice from somebody that, again, negative but fun. She told me once, you should really try not to burn bridges. But she learned in a competitive bid she was in with someone, she said, and she goes, I just got beat. And she said, that person did not try to go out and win friends. She said, the thing I learned from them is if you're going to burn a bridge, take the gas can. And I have to say, in some ways, don't give yourself a point of return. And that not necessarily applying to relationships because we're all, but I think I think there's something to that. It is the free fall will give you the kind of new energy you may feel like you've lost. And I think it isn't bad advice of if you're gonna do it definitively, not because you did it by accident.
Yeah. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
Well, any questions from the audience? I know you don't have microphones, but we can repeat it, and we have a few more minutes. 5 minutes to be exact.
Yeah, and if anybody, we do have a mic. It is open mic night here on singing, dancing.
But is there something in your immediate career path, or is there something that you've been interested about?
Come up and lay on the couch. We will analyze you.
And while they're thinking, I'm going to tell a very quick. I'm going to tell a very quick story because I'm thinking about evolution, and you never know what will work and what won't. But A few VMworlds ago, you know, Engineers Unplugged, the show that I work on, you know, we've had everything from in the audience. We've got Josh Atwell, who had to carry equipment in his suitcase because I didn't have room across country. It was a good idea that the community supported, and we all got behind it. You know, John and I had to pilfer a whiteboard where we got yelled at by security.
That was amazing.
And we're at a point now where you just kind of, you measure, you repeat, you explain, and we've got a wall that's now dedicated to it in the booth now. And So I think it is one of those things that other things I've done, and I can list many of them, have died natural and less than natural deaths. But if something is going to work, and let's look at the V. Brown Bag guys. Like, yeah, you guys started, I mean, with a dream and a microphone. Come on up.
Oh, no,
come on down.
No, I was actually just talking about this morning.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't going to come up here.
He's not brief.
3 minutes, I can't tell him.
No, but it's really interesting. Just a couple years ago, Josh Atwell, for those that do and don't know him, you guys had a pretty ghetto stage. It was basically Cody with no shoes on saying, hey, guys, come talk about stuff that VMware is not really that pumped to talk about. And it turned into something amazing. We've got a very fancy stage and fancy people doing and live
fancy
streaming.
Things.
Fancy
yeah.
things.
I think the real key takeaway on that, and that people need to understand, because yeah. I've had several people like, Josh, how do you keep up with everything? And what we had as a mission was, and even with Engineers Unplugged, we're going to do it.
Yep.
With or without
yep.
you, we're going to do it. And
yeah.
Because it's the right thing for the business, or it's yeah. the right thing for the community, or it's got to yeah. be the right thing.
Like we want to build this. We want to yeah. do this. We think this is going to have legs and it's going to grow. What's always shocking is that before long, other people see you doing that. And they're like, can I help you do that?
Yeah.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the V. Brown Bag, we're at 16 guys now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
And we've all been able to converge here at VMworld this year. But when it started, it was Cody. Right?
Yeah. And just prancing around like the unicorn he is and grabbing microphones.
So again, the unicorn analogy, if you're a unicorn doing the right thing, other unicorns will join you. And soon you'll have a blessing of unicorns.
And you can lead amongst peers. You don't even have to be at the same company. I mean, I don't work with any of you in front of me or the two of you, yet we meet every week and we record and we edit and we update our website with it. And it's, yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes energy. But man, it has been the most rewarding part of what I've been doing.
Yeah, do it until it looks like a foregone conclusion. That's
well, I knew that everything that we've been doing was paying off when somebody told me, like, you guys make this look easy.
Wow.
And I can tell you.
No one's ever told us that.
No one's ever. They're like, you make it look like we could do that too, and I don't think that's in the good way.
Yeah, so it's a great way to close. We're happy to have be on the V Brown Bags. We're happy to be part of it. If people want to get involved with V Brown Bags and offer some of their services, maybe get creative and do infographics or help with the website or just carry crap for people when they need it, where should they go, Josh?
So vbrownbag.com is part of professionalvmware.com. You can go on there. All our contact information is there. Obviously, Twitter is a great way to keep in touch, @vbrownbag. And we're always looking for presenters and topics trying to help, you know, grow people's knowledge. So
great.
Always open to people.
Josh, what's your Twitter handle?
@Josh_Atwell.
Okay.
All right.
And with that, it's been another week of the Geek Whisperers live from VMworld 2014 here on the V. Brown Bag stage. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
Woo!
You.
Woo!
See you next week.